Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning in to our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple or Android devices. We do thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer, for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn about the ways that are challenging to confront tobacco disparities in Louisiana to lead to enhanced health. So stay to the show for some very interesting and beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, December the 7th, and we are broadcasting our show for the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept calling questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. I hope that you and your family had a great Thanksgiving gathering to join in thanks for the wonderful blessings that you have received. And I'm hopefully it was wonderful for each and every one of you. And I'm sure, like most of us, it was a time when family members shared stories of the past. And I do hope, as I have advocated many times on this radio show, that you recorded them or jotted them down for future generations, because that's the important time of these holiday gatherings, that you share the family stories that can pass on from generation to generation. Be sure to pick up the November-December issue of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. This is a very popular issue about women in the military. So we do thank you for the many compliments about this issue in our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy at one of our 270 distribution locations, you can always visit our popular website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues, as well as to view the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. In addition, you can listen to previously broadcast shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. Speaking of Silver Pages, we are working on the 2025 Silver Pages. It will be released on March the 1st of 2025. So stay tuned. Many people have requested it. There are very few copies of the 2024 issue, but it is always available online from our website. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a TBT newsletter via an e-blast to over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers located in Caddo and Bossier parishes. It provides them with a link to read our current issue, but also gives them additional information that's not found in our printed magazine. It contains discounts and coupons, a contest, and of course, news and events that you can use and plan to attend. Join the many thousands who are receiving this free newsletter via their email address just by visiting our website, thebestoftimesnews.com, and subscribe to receive our TBT newsletter. Great news, our friends at Ernest Arlees continues to have the Best of Times special dinner on Thursdays from 4:30 p.m. to closing, with fabulous meals at highly discounted price, along with entertainment and free valet parking. It's highly recommended, due to the popularity of this Thursday night special dinner of the Best of Times, to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, that's 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Ebers, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Hebert's Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I thank you for taking time to listen to our show this morning. Joining me on my show today is a special guest, is Dr. Earl Benjamin Robinson, who is the Senior Director of the Tobacco Control and Prevention at the Louisiana Public Health Institute. And I'm asking him to come on our show to share the ways to confront tobacco disparities in the state of Louisiana to lead to better health and for all of us. So thank you, Doctor, for joining us today on our show. I learned a lot about your advocating this issues when I received this article, and I said, you know, this is important. And so I've been promoting it on my website, your article, which was really interesting. And also I decided, I said, I need to contact him to elaborate a little bit, get the rest of the story for my loyal radio listeners and how they can get involved and support this worthy cause to improve the health and well-being of all of our Louisiana citizens, right?
Right, right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on.
So tell us a little bit about you and your organization.
So I am Earl Nupcius Benjamin Robinson. I am, as you stated, I work at the Louisiana Public Health Institute, overseeing the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living. I am a North Louisiana native. My father's from Shreveport, and I am from Grambling. So I'm glad to be representing here, talking to you as a radio station that is in that area. And so at the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living, you know, as you've indicated, we're about educating community and supporting communities to move in a direction that help to ensure that people are protected from secondhand smoke in public places. And so we are excited to do that work and to champion the health of Louisianans all over the state.
Well, the one thing I wanted to add is, are these types of campaigns, I know you represent the Louisiana, are they in all the 50 states?
So each state has its own initiative. So I think most states do have some sort of campaign around and programs rather around trying to make certain that citizens have information about resources related to quitting tobacco use and vaping. But I can't speak to, you know, how they run their respective programs. But I would imagine that all of 51 states do have some sort of educational program around tobacco use and vaping.
So how long has our campaign in Louisiana been going on? I know I've been dealing, I think, with this. I've been doing it 23 years, and I think I've had people on the show talk about this many years ago, but I'm sure it's been around probably longer than that.
Yeah, I think it's been we've been around for about 22-23 years, and we've had some tremendous success inside the state of Louisiana. As you know, or you may not know, that right now, as a result of the work that we've been leading in the state, we now have 37 municipalities that have smoke-free laws that support the state's already law that is in existence. So when I say 37 municipalities that are supporting the state's law, what I mean is that municipalities have developed ordinances in their respective locations that say you cannot smoke in bars and gaming facilities because the state legislation stops short of that. The state legislation says you cannot smoke in public places except bars and gaming facilities. And so we work with municipalities, educating them, providing them information on how they can possibly go further to protect people in bars and gaming facilities in their respective locations.
So I want you to emphasize the importance of why is it needed?
So it's needed. It's needed for several reasons. One is that 71% of individuals who smoke are, well, 60 to 70% of individuals who smoke, they want to quit smoking. And so we want to be able to support those individuals that are wanting to quit smoking And so that's why in partnership with the Louisiana Department of Health, We have the 1-800-QUIT-NOW where people can call that and gain access to free counseling and nicotine replacement therapy. And so they can access those services for those individuals who are wanting to quit. And also, this is important because smoking is a big factor when it comes to cancer, lung cancers in particular. And so we want to do our part to help create support citizens inside of Louisiana to become the healthiest that they can be. Further, we know that individuals who did not finish high school, individuals from low socioeconomic backgrounds, those are some of the remaining smokers inside our state. Have been trending down in smoking prevalence inside Louisiana for the last few years. Over the last 3 years, we've gone from 19.5% prevalence of individuals who smoke inside the state. And last year, that prevalence has now dropped down to, I believe, 14%. And so we're excited about that. However, when we dig a little bit deeper and look at the remaining smokers inside our state, we see that these smokers are coming from disparate backgrounds. Many of these individuals are individuals who did not finish high school. Many of these individuals are individuals who make less than $15,000 a year. We find that LGBTQ individuals are disproportionately affected by smoking. And so we want to do our due diligence to, as we see the prevalence of smoking drop inside the state, but we don't see that dropping inside certain populations, we want to make certain that we support those populations in gaining access to the resources that can help them to quit. But we also want to make certain that we support municipalities in building their capacity to ensure that all of its citizens who don't want to be exposed to secondhand smoke are not exposed to secondhand smoke. So we're trying to, you know, do a multitude of things to help to create a healthier Louisiana.
Well, I think to educate my listeners out there, which I was involved in the healthcare field many, many years ago, but secondhand smoke is like people never even thought about it many years ago. I mean, yes, smoking might be hazardous. I want to do it. We can go into that too. But some individuals and family members said, well, my parents, my friends, everybody, I go to casinos and restaurants and whatnot, and I don't smoke. What's that secondhand smoke going to do to me? Explain to our listeners that secondhand smoke is dangerous, and it I think you've had some statistics in there, over 1,000 lives are lost each year in Louisiana from secondhand smoke, which is remarkable. Hi.
So it is sad to say that there are a number of people who are not smokers, but yet they are exposed to secondhand smoke, and we've seen some of those individuals who do acquire health conditions related to exposure to secondhand smoke. So it is a significant issue, and I'm glad that you are talking about it, because more people need to be educated about it. And so that's why we do the work that we do with the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living. We are about educating people. We're about supporting communities so that they can, one, get the resources that they need for those individuals who are interested in quitting smoking. But we are also wanting to support and build the capacity of communities to make the changes that they would like to make inside their community so that they can make communities healthier, and so that citizens who in particular who do not smoke are not exposed to secondhand smoke while they're at work. Like, because inside our state, people who work inside gaming facilities and bars, they're not protected by the state's laws, by the state law. However, with the 37 municipalities that we have in place, those municipalities, what we know now is that 1.3 Louisianans are protected comprehensively by secondhand smoke inside our state. And so secondhand smoke is an issue. That's why we are doing our due diligence to educate people, because You know, people do acquire chronic health conditions, and in some situations, cancer as a result of being exposed to secondhand smoke. It is a serious matter.
Mention one thing which I thought was fascinating, and I've told people this, because when I go to occasionally bars, I try to avoid bars or casinos that have, you know, tremendous smoke. It bothers me. I'm not a smoker. I've never been a smoker for 74 years. However, all of my, both my parents, my grandparents, all my aunts and uncles, all smoked around me. But I've never been a smoker, but it affects me when I go into those places that you think that, why are they allowing smoking around the gambling tables and at the bar? Well, you know, I wouldn't want to enjoy my drink and conversation, but explain. Someone told me just a few days ago this, oh, Gary, don't get upset about that. They have all these fancy ventilation systems now, then in all these bars and casinos that can, you know, suck at all the out all the visible smoke and odor and all the hazardous things. So, you know, you shouldn't be worried. Maybe it's lingering there, but they're getting it out and pumping back in cold air for you. Is that true or not?
Wow. So yeah, those systems do not work. That would be like someone urinating in the pool and you saying, well, I have a filter system that can filter out the urine. I use that analogy to bring home the point that those systems do not work effectively. And so secondhand smoke is something that we need to be having discussions about. And again, many of the individuals who work inside gaming facilities and inside casinos, they're not protected. And so we want to do our due diligence to educate people so that people can become municipalities can do what they need to do to protect citizens from exposure to secondhand smoke. We also, I want to reiterate this other point, that many of the individuals that I talked about earlier who are the remaining smokers, those are also the individuals who are not being protected inside gaming facilities and inside bars. And so that's another reason why the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living does this work. It wants to make certain that all Louisianans are getting the information and support that they need to live healthier lives.
Well, that's important. Well, I hate to pick on, let's pick on Shreveport a little bit. I noticed in your report that, which I had some people comment about this, they were not aware that the city council in 2001 protected the community health from smoke-free indoor ordinance. And then later on, they changed it, right?
Yeah, that did happen.
Oh, wow.
It is unfortunate because many of the individuals that whom I talked about earlier, who are the remaining smokers in the state, individuals who may not have finished high school, individuals who did not go to college, individuals who are making less than $15,000 a year, individuals from certain populations who have historically been discriminated against. Those are the individuals who are largely working inside gaming facilities, inside casinos. And so it's a situation where, you know, it's sad that everyone does not get to be equally protected from exposure to secondhand smoke. We're basically more or less saying that there are some citizens that are second class. And so and we're putting those individuals in harm's way by being exposed to secondhand smoke. And so it is indeed a situation that we, you know, we wish it didn't happen, but it is what it is. And so that's why we're doing our due diligence to educate people, make certain that for those individuals who are interested in quitting smoking, please call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. And for those individuals who want to support community change, I would encourage them to get connected with Healthier Air for All on Facebook so that they can work with partners inside their respective communities to make certain that cities do what it is that they need to do to protect the citizens that live there.
Okay. Hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tending Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Galigas. I do thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Dr. Earl Benjamin Robinson, who is the Senior Director of Tobacco Control and Prevention at the Louisiana Public Health Institute, and he's sharing us the ways to confront tobacco disparities in the state of Louisiana to lead to better health for all of us in our wonderful state. So thank you again for taking time from your busy schedule to be on my radio show today.
Thank you for having me.
So in getting a little retrospect of what your department does, so your department is under what division? Under what division of the government? Is it separate? I used to know all these things about Louisiana, but not as much anymore.
No problem. So the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living is a program of the Louisiana Cancer Research Center, and it is also a program of the Louisiana Public Health Institute. It sits inside the Louisiana Public Health Institute. And so, yeah, that's where we are.
And I'm going to tell my listeners, you can visit their website at, I think I had it right here, LPHI.org. That stands for Louisiana Public Health Institute.org, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
It's a fabulous website, a lot of great information about this, about your tobacco control and prevention. So going back to, I want to ask that we have all these cities and the parishes. Do you campaign to the parish or to the cities or to the various to enact various legislation or ordinances? Is that what your department does?
How do you change their perspective
or let's say promotion of an ordinance that will make it?
Gotcha.
Who does that?
So we provide education. So we educate community, and a part of that in the portions of the education, it provides resources that can support a community in enacting or developing ordinances that are centered around protecting people from vaping and tobacco use inside public places. And so, again, we provide education, and a component of the education is providing resources and tools that help to build communities' capacity and ability to develop an ordinance that is centered around protecting people from exposure to secondhand smoke and vaping inside public places.
So there had to be a councilman on a city council or a parish commissioner, you might advocate something or introduce a resolution, and you would be the supporting him or her to make the presentation why it's needed in a particular area, city, et cetera, right?
So, yeah. So if an official inside a city ask us for resources, we would share resources with them, share the best practices with them, and they can then take it upon themselves to enact that information, to do with that information what they would like to do with it. But we are really centered in providing education, making certain that people are aware of what research, best practice, and what science say around protecting people from exposure to secondhand smoke.
So let's go into this disparities amongst different demographic groups. So did your group or other people determine based upon surveys and interviewing people that there was a particular problem in certain demographic groups in the state of Louisiana? Who did the research? Who did the analysis?
So good. Good question. Thank you for that question. So that is done in partnership with the Centers for Disease Control, the Louisiana Department of Health, and our evaluation team. They assess via what we call the BARFIS. I can't remember what the acronym at the moment is because it has slipped out of my head, but the BARFIS is a behavioral risk. I think it's a behavioral risk assessment factors survey where, you know, we ask various questions to Louisianans And I think this year we probably were able to get somewhere between 4,000 to 5,000 Louisianans to answer the question.
Wow.
And so some of the questions are related to tobacco use, and some of them are related to other factors. But as it relates to my program, we center around assessing their responses, specifically as it relates to tobacco use or tobacco products use. And so that assessment has for a number of years indicated to us that when we though we are seeing declines in the number of smokers inside the state, when we look at certain populations, we are not seeing declines in smoking. And so to answer your question, the BARFIS, the Behavioral Risk Assessment Factor Survey, lets us know, based on people's responses, that certain populations are disproportionately affected by tobacco use. And some of those populations are African-American males, individuals, as I stated earlier, individuals who did not finish high school, or individuals who make less than $15,000 a year. And we also are seeing that when we look at LGBTQ community members, they have a higher smoking prevalence as well. And so, again, some of those populations that are disproportionately affected by tobacco use are the LGBTQ community members, African-American males, individuals who did not finish high school, individuals who don't have college degrees, individuals with who have indicated that they have behavioral health issues, or some of the individuals that have indicated that they are disproportionately affected by tobacco use.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up question. So the individuals who did not have a high school diploma, according to your report, has a smoking rate of 44%. That's remarkable. That's very high. Without a diploma,
yeah, that is
smoking rate up. Did we ask them why? Why do you smoke? I'd love to know the reason.
I don't think that we don't ask them that question. We do have information that can provide us information on why it is that they might smoke.
Okay. Why is
some
that?
Of the reasons are that limited education. People may not know about the dangers of smoking.
Okay.
Many of these individuals, a lot of the individuals who do not finish high schools, are individuals who are come from low socioeconomic backgrounds. And so as a result of that, they may have stressors that increase the likelihood of them smoking. We also know that the way that tobacco products are marketed inside poor neighborhoods is different than how it is marketed in affluent neighborhoods. You might go in some poor neighborhoods and you see tobacco products that are all over a gas station. When you go inside the gas station, you see that the products are marketed in a way where community members are bombarded with tobacco messaging. And so it's a number of those things, a number of social determinants that are contributed to that. Again, it is poverty. It is education. It is how tobacco products are marketed inside those communities. And then overall, many of these individuals might be experiencing a tremendous amount of stress. We know that stress can plays a part in people smoking. And so it's for many individuals who come from impoverished backgrounds or who are from disparate populations, it's kind of like a perfect storm of things happening that contribute to them becoming and remaining smokers.
Well, tell our listeners, doesn't most of the programs in Louisiana, educational programs, have some sort of course, at least annually, that tells them the problems of smoking and what it could lead to, not now but near in the future? Do they educate them anymore? I'm out of the healthcare arena for many years, so and as well as the education. So is that off the books now? They don't educate them in both public and private schools?
So I don't know. Gotcha. So I don't know what the course curriculum is like inside public or private schools. I'm not aware. I can't speak to that. I would imagine that there is some level of education around, the dangers of smoking. But I can't necessarily, I can't answer that question. I do know that our partner, the Louisiana Department of Health, does go inside schools and provide education, but I don't know if inside health courses, the degree to which they are providing information to students about the dangers of smoking and vaping.
So the important thing that I'm thinking here is, how are we going to reduce this? For high school diplomas, so, as well as college, we're talking about, it seems quite high. We don't have a comparison of the other states or other areas, but that, to me, that seems quite high. And to me, I would want that to be reduced further, and hopefully, those individuals. Likewise, I'm going to ask you about the black communities. Did we ask them? Is it a peer thing, a peer pressure, that these young people and other people, significantly want to smoke more and have, be around secondhand smoke?
So, yeah, it's much the same thing that I was talking about earlier. It is peer maybe have some part to play in it. A lot of us believe that it has to do with how the products are marketed inside the community. Also, the stressors that exist inside that community. Across all communities, whether black, white, Native American, we're seeing that individuals that are making $15,000 or less are individuals that are more likely to be smokers than individuals who are making more than that. And so across the racial spectrum, we see that happening. But African Americans are disproportionately affected by that. Because of a number of social factors. One in particular is how the product is marketed inside their community. Earlier, I talked about how in impoverished communities, tobacco marketing, when you see it inside a store, you might see a store that has cigarette marketing all over it, versus when you go to more affluent communities, you don't see marketing in that way. And so I think those are some of the factors that are contributing.
Your department or other departments within our state can challenge those tobacco industries practices?
So there are some things that can be done around point of sale, tobacco products are marketed inside the state. However, we have some preemptions inside at the state level that do not allow us to go any stronger than what the state allows. And so there are some preemptions that we have to work around or work with that don't allow us to, or we wouldn't be able to do anything stronger than what the state allows when it comes to some of that marketing. And there are some federal regulations that are in place in relationship to how tobacco is marketed as well. And so one of the things that we can do to help ensure that citizens are protected is to continue to educate, to continue to work together to make certain that we're getting messages to all community members, make certain that we providers who are providing care to individuals are asking individuals who are smokers if they would like to quit smoking and connect them to 1-800-QUIT-NOW. We also have a text line where you can text READY, that is READY, to 34191 to get resources as well. We also would want to need to drive people to quitwithusla.org. And so there are a number of things that we can do inside our state and work together to support citizens support citizens who want to quit smoking, while also helping communities who are interested in becoming smoke-free, be smoke-free communities. So I would implore individuals who are interested in either of those things to, one, go on Facebook and look for Healthier Air for All. That's a Facebook group that is centered around supporting communities in developing smoke-free policies in their respective communities. And for those individuals who want to quit smoking or have family members that have expressed interest in quitting smoking, I would encourage them to go look at quitwithusla.org. Again, that's quitwithusla.org. They can also call 1-800-QUIT-NOW and get access to tobacco cessation counseling and also get free nicotine replacement therapy for 2 weeks. And then they can text READY to 34191. That's READY, READY to 34191.
Those are some great resources. So hold that thought. We'll be right back with another segment and more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Hebert's Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my radio show today as a special guest is Dr. Earl Benjamin Robinson, who is the Senior Director of the Tobacco and Control and Prevention at the Louisiana Public Health Institute. And he's sharing with us the information on ways in which we can confront tobacco disparities in the state of Louisiana to lead to better health for all of us. So thank you, Doctor, for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So we have a few minutes left in this last segment. I want to touch on something that I think you should emphasize to our listeners out there is the importance of being aware of the dangers of secondhand smoke. And I advocate to you and your people down there and people in Baton Rouge and et cetera in New Orleans to in the Shreveport area to maybe do some PSAs, some public service announcements. But so I've never seen any that I'm aware of. Maybe they're on there, but I've seen, you know, smoking issue and causing this, but this could be related to secondhand smoke. I think that would get a little bit of interest throughout our area. Has things been done on that?
I agree. That just costs a lot of money. And oftentimes, that's one of the areas that we don't have a lot of money to spend on because, I mean, budgets can be eaten up by marketing. What we try to do in this day and time is to be a bit more strategic with how we market information. And so our mass media community campaigns are happening via social media, which allows us to be a bit more cost effective because we can target audiences that are disproportionately affected by tobacco use. And so, again, we used to spend a considerable amount of money getting messages around the state. And so now we are just a bit more strategic and efficient in doing that because, one, of cost, and social media has allowed us to be a bit more strategic and efficient at getting messages to populations.
Well, let's talk about one other issue that I was not aware of. Again, I don't smoke, and I just know that cigarettes tend to be more expensive, like everything else is going up, but it seems like to me exponentially been increasing over the past few years. Isn't that true? And I don't see how individuals can afford them these days, especially the demographics you're telling me about. How can they afford smoking that much? And that it's sad to me they could be spending it on something better than having cigarettes that are just going to be burning away. Comment about that?
Well, yeah. So as I stated earlier, a lot of people are smoking as a result of stress. And smoking is an addiction. And that's why to us we don't want to vilify individuals who are smokers. We want to provide them with the resources that they need to be successful in their quit attempts. Earlier I talked about are stated that about 60 to 70% of individuals who smoke want to quit smoking. And so we focus on trying to support those individuals who want to quit smoking in being able to. And so we have, they could utilize quitwithusla.org, or they can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, or if they want to text, they can text READY, READY, to 34191. And so again, you know, smoking is an addiction. Many individuals who are smokers are smoking because of environmental stresses. And we understand that. And so we want to try to support them as best we can so that for those who are interested in quitting, we want to make certain that they have access to the resources that are available inside our state. Again, they can call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, or they can go to quitwithusla.org to garner more information and access to resources.
Well, Doc, do we know the success stories? What has this been a very successful program over the past 10 years to make people get off and they continue to get off of smoke, not smoking?
Yeah, so over the last 20 or so years, about 40,000 people have access to 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Again, 1-800-QUIT-NOW is done in collaboration with the Louisiana Department of Health Well Ahead program. And again, about 40,000 people have accessed that program to get help with their quit attempts. And at the present, when people who are utilizing that the 1-800-QUIT-NOW, we're seeing a quit rate of 31%. So again, of the individuals that are accessing that resources, 31% of them are indicating that they have quit as a result of utilizing 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
What about younger people, the college students, the high school students? Can they access these particular programs? Hopefully, to catch them early in the stage to get off of smoking.
Yes, they can. So the 1-800-QUIT-NOW and the text READY to 34191 are available for young adults and teenagers, and so we encourage anyone who has an issue with tobacco products or vaping to utilize the resources that are available inside the state. And again, that's 1-800-QUIT-NOW, or they can go to quitwithusla.org.
Awesome. So let's talk about an interesting topic that you wrote in your article that I was not aware of, and many people asked me about it. The tobacco industry's target marketing of menthol-flavored cigarettes, especially with black communities, is a key issue. So explain that to us.
So menthol, for a number of years, menthol cigarettes have been targeted inside the African-American community and also the LGBT community. The thing about menthol is because of the way that it tastes and it feels, it allows you to breathe deeper. And so we believe that as a result of breathing that product in deeper, that contributes to additional or a disproportionate number of health disparities for African Americans. And
wow.
So we are encouraging individuals who are interested in quitting smoking. So again, I call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. But to answer your question more directly, as it relates to menthol, the tobacco industry has been aggressively marketing menthols to black communities and has significantly increased tobacco-related health disparities. Well, health disparities have increased significantly as a result of this. And so it's something of particular concern to us. And again, it also goes back to how we see tobacco products marketed inside a poor or African-American communities. We wouldn't necessarily see the way that tobacco products are marketed inside poor communities or African-American communities the same way that it would be marketed inside white or affluent communities. And so those are things that we have to have discussions about and examine to see, you know, what is it that we can do inside that community to ensure that one community is not being taken advantage of in relationship to getting individuals addicted to a product that could, that will, and at some point, cause health issues.
And didn't you mention in your article that the FDA proposal to ban it has been stalled, right?
Yes, that has, unfortunately, that ban has been stalled. I do hope that at some point in the future that the FDA does move forward with banning menthols, because we believe that as a result of that ban, we would see a reduction in the number of individuals inside the African American community who are experiencing health-related issues as a result of smoking. We believe that we would see a decrease in the health disparities related to smoking if we were able to garner that ban.
So, in closing, what do you recommend my listeners out there and throughout the area can do to help you make a tobacco-free Louisiana?
So the first thing I would, thank you for that question, and the first thing I would have them do is to go to, for those individuals who are interested in policy education, policy interventions, working inside their community to make certain that all citizens are protected from secondhand smoke, I would ask them to go to Facebook and look up Healthier Air for All and go and support that page, and you'll find a number of resources there. Again, that's Healthier Air for All. It's a Facebook page, and there's a number of resources and information there, and some of that information is respective to the communities that individuals live in. So you'll be able to find resources and information related to if you live in North Louisiana in the Shreveport area, you'll find information respective to that area. If you live in the Monroe area, you'll find information respective to that area. And so, again, go to Facebook page, Healthier Air for All. For those individuals who are interested in quitting smoking, I would ask them to go to quitwithusla.org. Again, that's quitwithusla.org. Or call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. If they want to text, they can text READY, READY, to 34191. Again, that's text READY, READY, to 34191.
Well, let's hope that many people will advocate this as well. The only thing we forgot to mention that I wanted to mention is we didn't mention anything about e-cigarettes. Is that booming? It seems like to me in all these stores that I go to, gas station, it has as many of those than they do regular cigarettes. But it's still dangerous, right?
Yes.
It's still not as safe as people think they are, right?
No, they aren't. We're seeing that our prevalence for vaping inside the state is at 10%. I believe nationally it's at 3%. And so it's of issue to us, particularly as it relates to high schoolers and middle schoolers. We have seen vaping use triple inside middle school, and we have seen it doubled inside high school. And what we know about vaping is that, one, those young people who vape are more likely to, when they become adults, to become smokers. And so we need to be concerned about this vaping issue. One thing that we're doing inside the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living is we're having town halls all around the state around vaping to make sure that we're educating people, parents, guardians, school officials, about the epidemic that's happening related to vaping, because it is of particular concern. And so if young people are vaping, we know that it increases the likelihood of them becoming future smokers. Individuals who smoke are more likely to develop health-related issues specific to that smoking and even cancer. And so vaping is a big issue in our state, especially given the fact that we've seen in middle school vaping rates triple and in high school vaping rates double. And so it's something that we are paying particular attention to at the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living, and we're going to continue to stay focused on it so that we can help to reduce the vaping prevalence that exists presently inside the state of Louisiana.
Well, thank you, Dr. Robinson, Benjamin Robinson, for being on our show today. You were quite educational for me, and I know from many, many thousands of listeners out there. Hopefully, I wish you best of luck and continue the advocacy regarding this and the education for all of our citizens to hopefully we can have a tobacco-free state of Louisiana in the very near future. So thank you again for joining us today on the show and providing us with great information.
Thank you for having me. Have a good day.
You too.
Join us next Saturday here on the Best of Times Radio Hour to learn more information that could benefit you or your loved ones. Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of the current issue of the Best of Times in one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.